The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. He put another parable before them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also, and the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Gather the weeds first, and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds, and he went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, as we follow the lectionary through the book of Romans, we continue in our Romans series. We're in the middle of Romans chapter 8. Last week, we got to hear about what it means to be a Christian, to know that we get to be the ones who cry out, Abba, Father, to the God who created everything, to know that he has made us his children through his Son, Jesus Christ. In today's reading, at the end of our Romans 8 section on in verses 26 and 27, we get to hear about what it's like when we don't have the words to pray, when we don't have the words to call out to God and share what's on our heart and our mind. Leading into that, we get in the verses 18 through 24, this idea that creation is waiting with an eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. As Marty said in our children's lesson, it's hard to wait sometimes. It's hard to wait to see what God has in store. It's hard to wait to see God's kingdom come fully, to get to be in heaven, to see God face to face, to be there with the ones that we love who've died before us, to finally get to see God, to know his will, to live a life without pain and without suffering. Until then, not just you and I, but the whole of creation is groaning in wait. In verse 20, it says, creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Creation itself will get to obtain the glory that we get to obtain. This freedom, this glory of knowing that we are children of God. That is a great and wonderful blessing. To know that you are God's son, you are God's daughter. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, that didn't just take care of what will happen when you get to see God face to face. That is true. That's the big thing. We're very thankful he died for our sins, that when we see God, we don't have to say, well, I deserve to get to go to heaven because of these awesome things that I did. We get to go to heaven because when we see God, he'll say, welcome in. My son has prepared a place for you. He knows us. He's called us his children, and he wants to bring us home. Until then, as we wait in groaning to be there, we know that his Holy Spirit is continuing to care for us each and every day. As his apostles were preparing their hearts to say goodbye to Jesus, not understanding that he had to leave them again after he died, and then he gets to be with them, wait, Jesus, you died, and now you're alive again, so you're done being gone now, right? We get to have you forever? It's like, no, don't hold on to me. I've got to go. But don't worry, I'll send you the Helper, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who has so many different titles and ways to understand him, the one who will continue to take care of you, to guide you in the faith, to help you when things are hard, to direct you when things are wonderful. Now, if we know that Jesus Christ has given us this promised Holy Spirit, it's good to get to see what he's doing for us. It's kind of like when you have a pastor and you know you get to see him on Sundays and he does these things for you there, but what is he really doing all week long? I don't know. I can tell you it's not working on my golf game if you ever get to see me play. That's not true. You guys better watch out if I ever come to the course next to your house. Just duck. Similarly, people will often see any of the work that we do for a short time here and there, but there's so much more that you're doing that people just don't see. We understand that about ourselves, and yet it's funny to think about that with God, that he is always at work doing something. His Holy Spirit is always at work in our own hearts, changing them, helping us to follow God. We call that sanctification. That's a different sermon, don't worry. But he's also there doing something different and unique. Something that I've enjoyed studying before, and I've had fun doing this with youth group kids, but now I've learned Greek and it's even more exciting. It's a lot of fun. Because you look at these verses in 26 and 27, and it's just, I didn't understand it fully. Like, I still don't, but it's fun to get to delve into it a little bit more. Just as creation is waiting and groaning, and we hope for this thing that is coming that we've not yet seen, in the same way, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. In some way, shape, or form, the Holy Spirit is praying with us and even for us. This is great on so many levels, not the least of which is to answer the question that I have answered many times. So how are we supposed to pray well? What are we supposed to do when we pray? And perhaps maybe you might recall sometime at some point someone's taught you a different way to pray. There's different acronyms and different things to do. There's one with a hand and you've got these like different things and it to say with each finger, and I don't remember that one. There's one that's called ACTS, and it's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You can tell I didn't necessarily remember that one well. I knew I was going to say it, and I had to stop and think slowly about it. There are different ways that we can think about praying, different styles we can have, of course. Of course, when Jesus was asked by his disciples, he gives them the Lord's Prayer. We talked about that last week. It starts off, Our Father. You get to talk to him like that. And then it goes through just simple statements. Ask God for things. Give him glory, and you're good. You've got it all covered. Notice that Jesus didn't give them one of those acronyms in some way to remember it. Just prayed for them. Get the idea that when you pray, God just wants to hear you talk to him. Share what's on your heart and on your mind. It does not need to be polished. Some of you I've heard pray, and you pray far more excitingly and better than I do on a Sunday, and you're great at it, and that's wonderful. Others, you might not think you're great at it, but I'm sure it's just as good, if not better. You recall, right, when Jesus says, oh, don't go and pray like those who are out praying big lofty prayers on the street corners that everyone would hear them. They're getting glory for themselves. Rather, go and pray in secret. Lock yourself away. That's a bigger and better prayer. God just wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to talk with you. It doesn't need to be special or amazing. I do recommend that you give, you know, a little bit of respect to God's name. Hey, Daddy Papa. True start to a prayer that I heard. I don't know his heart. Maybe it was a perfect prayer, but maybe that's not how I'm going to start my prayer personally. When we pray and we talk to God, he just wants to have you talking to him. He just wants to hear you. But like I said, what do we do when we pray and we don't have the words to say? We find this most often when we're going through something really hard, really terrible. We pray and we're trying to say something to God and we just can't get the words out, or we don't even know what words we should have. In the end, I always just default to saying, God help us. God help me. And in fact, we trust and we know and we see in God's word that he is helping us. When we don't have the words to pray, he's doing that for us. We have these troubles on our heart and our mind, and the Holy Spirit, which is in us, knows that. And with these groanings, it says here in our translation, that are too deep for words, he brings those prayers to the Father. Now, I told you, I already understood this a little bit, but now I have Greek, and it's very exciting and fun. Today, I was a little late to our Bible study at 8:30 because I was hunting down one more word. I've been a fun one to look into. They're not easy ones, so I'm not going to quiz you on this later by just having heard it. This, there's a word in here, sun antalambanatai. I told you it's a hard one. I probably just mispronounced it. I hope Pastor Casting wasn't listening too deeply there. But it's sun antilambanatai. Means that the Holy Spirit is praying with you. He's the word we're gonna break up a little bit because I can do smaller parts a lot easier. Soon is this first part of the word that means with. The Holy Spirit's with you doing this thing. Antilambanatai, can't break it up much smaller, sorry. He's taking your part of doing something. The Holy Spirit with you is taking your part of this prayer. When we pray, the Spirit that is in us, that connects us to the Father because of Jesus Christ, who's given him to us, is there with us, bringing our concerns, bringing our prayers, taking the part of our prayer and giving it to God. And then these words that we do not know, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. It starts with uk oidomen. Uk is not, and oidomen is the things that we know. We do not know these words. We don't understand them. We don't have them. We don't know what to say about this thing that we want to pray for. And then the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that are too deep for words. And actually, the Greek, this is why the whole point of this part is to get to this section. The groanings are the stenagmois. That's just a fun word to say, so I had to put it in. It's this groanings word, these things that are deep in us. And then the too deep for words is alaletois. Stenagmois, alaletois. Alaletois is not actually, I think, best translated as being too deep for words. The word is used in other places as being inexpressible. So he prays for us with groanings that are inexpressible. So putting this all together, the Holy Spirit that is with us is bringing our part to God, giving the words that we don't know how to say. We don't have the words. So he gives the Father our inexpressible groanings, the things that can't be expressed, the things that can't be said. When we're hurting, when we're sad, when we don't know what to say or what to do, we pray to God, I don't even know. God, help me. The Holy Spirit who is in you takes your heart, takes your feelings, your mind, and presents it to the Father, these groanings that are inexpressible, praying for you. Now, I told you that this is something that I keep learning more about. And it's not just because I've learned Greek and I get to geek out about these things, making me late for other things. It's because we've also gotten older and we've had more opportunity to experience great pain and great loss. You know, at different stages of our life, we understand pain in a certain way because of certain things that have happened, certain losses that we've had. Whether it's be deaths or the loss of a relationship or of a job. And those are very painful. And then we find later on, man, there can be even worse things. Things that we don't have the words to pray for. Some of you know, and I think many of you know, that Rosie's birth was not an easy one for us. Back in October, Bethany was on schedule for a normal delivery. Everything was looking great. We went to the hospital. Rosie looked like she was going to come right on time, maybe. Everything was looking like it should be. And then about 3 in the morning, her heart rate started dropping drastically. The doctors came rushing in saying, we need to rush in for an emergency C-section, that Rosie would be delivered right now. So we run in there, and as soon as things are able to happen, Rosie is delivered via C-section and taken away, not making sounds, not moving, looking pretty limp and lifeless. Bethany had to see Rosie taken away that way, and I followed Rosie off to another room as doctors continued to work on her. As they were, in those first few minutes, continuing to try to give her air, warm her up, get her to move, get her to have any response, I was there without any words to pray other than, God help us, God save her. I was at the point where I was looking for the nearest water source in case I needed to baptize her before she died. And going through all of that, I didn't know what to say or how to say it. I would only find out later, before Bethany got to see Rosie, which would happen 5 hours after her birth, that Bethany had been going through the hardest day of her life with the most pain she'd ever experienced. It was an awful day where we just didn't have the words to pray for. And we got to share with each other what had been happening that morning. What do you pray other than saying, God, help us? And we trusted that our God knew our hearts and knew our minds. We don't know why things happened the way they did. Maybe we'll find out someday this in this life. Maybe we won't. Maybe even as we pray now, and we can still say, well, praise be to God that Bethany and Rosie are both alive. That's a wonderful gift. That's not something that everyone gets to have. So we don't know what God saved us from. We don't know why things happened the way they did. And sometimes we just still don't even have the words to pray. I'm certain that you've gone through awful things as well. Many of you have shared these awful stories and situations with me, and I find myself in the same position. I just don't have the words except to be with you and to pray with you as best we can. And that's okay. We get to talk to our Heavenly Father. We have His Spirit who is in us, who we're told will take care of us even when we have nothing but groanings that are inexpressible. I want you to know that this family of faith, your brothers and sisters, care deeply about you. You're always welcome to share anything you are going through or have gone through, and we're happy to pray with you. I also thank you for all those who've cared about us and have been praying for us as well. I want to encourage you, whether you're the person who's going through something or the one who just wants to take care of your family, it's good to let people know I'm praying for you. And at certain times and certain ways, people might reach out and share their stories with you. When that happens, you can listen. You can pray silently with them or at home on your own. I know I'm continuing to work to not be like some of Job's friends who would say, oh, I've got the answer. Let me help you and I'll tell you. It's real easy to be those friends. But we know that sometimes we don't have the words, whether we're the ones going through it or the ones who see our family and friends who are suffering. Just sit with your family and pray with them. That's all we have to do. We trust that the Holy Spirit, who knows our hearts better than we can, is bringing our concerns and our hurt and our pain to our Father who loves us. And again, we won't know always why things happen the way they do. But we trust that our God is with us every step of the way. And that someday He will call us to our heavenly home where these groanings don't happen anymore. As we look forward to that day, we trust and we know that the Holy Spirit is in us and guiding us. And may that peace continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Great is the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you His peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.